Welcome to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community.
So, I know. I mean, let's not pretend. This is a little awkward. We didn't think we'd be back here again, or we just hoped we wouldn't be back here again. And here's the thing, we're not. I want to encourage you to go back, scroll up in those comments, go back to that QR code, to that volunteer link. We will be connecting in person and having community. We just needed to, what do they say in news? Pause for station identification. For the next 2 weeks, we will be working out a plan that will keep our kids safe. Because right now, they're the most vulnerable among us. This really hit home for me last night and this morning. And so Montgomery James is fine. Currently, he is feeling healthy. But he, last night, started what might be a 10-day quarantine. And that's because his dad's vaccinated, his grandparents are vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, all the adults are vaccinated, and his dad was getting ready to fly out for a speaking gig and routine test because the conference wanted him to make sure that he had been COVID tested. And that meant that he got tested and it came back positive, 9 o'clock last night. He's feeling fine, everyone's feeling fine, but Montgomery is at risk. And right now, that's what's happening. Our kids are at risk, and we've got to figure out a way for us to connect safely and continue to do our ministry work and keep them safe. That's our priority. So for the next, so this Sunday and next Sunday, we'll be doing this live stream virtual. And by that time, we'll have come up with a plan for us to continue connecting and being in community because it's necessary. We need it. And we know more than we knew last time. So though some of our emotions may be coming up that, oh my gosh, we're here again, it's not the case. It's not. Because in chapter one of this pandemic panini life, we didn't know what was going on. It's like, you know, in Power Rangers or in Karate Kid, the first time someone jumps out of the alley and you kind of know you have superpowers because like you were able to defeat them, but you have no idea where they came from. You have no idea where this karate stuff came from. You're kind of bloodied, you've been kind of beat up, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Miyagi appears. Or Splinter, or whoever the guru is. We're not in the same part of the story that it was. And the thing that we know from scripture is that God has us. That through the power of Christ, we will be able to make this a beautiful story. And so that's the thing. A good story reminds us of who God is. Who the person in charge, where our power comes from. The Mark series helped us get closer to Jesus. Both the divine Jesus, the human Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ that gives us as Christians full access to God. But now we're in this series, in week two of this series, A Beautiful Story. And in this series, it's not Jesus, it's God that is the main character. So what can we learn about stories, about God, about ourselves? Well, let's start. Let's start in the beginning, literally in Genesis 1. If you have an iPad, or if you have your Bible handy, I'm going to read it. It's not going to be on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness was called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water, and under the vault from the water above it." And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water be under the sky be gathered in one place and let dry ground appear. And so it was, and God called the dry ground land. And the gathered water he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And so it was. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. God also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem from living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems that moves about it according to their kinds and every winged bird according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in God's own image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give of every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all that had been made, and it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Y'all. So first off, like literally the beginning, Genesis 1, right? First off, one of my favorite things about this creation story, about the beginning of this story, is that I love to think about not just what God created, but how God created. God gathered the darkness. If you notice, God doesn't splice and slice. God gathers, God separates, God sets, but God leaves nothing. God leaves nothing to waste. God gathered the darkness. This book, this kid's Bible, y'all's friend Montgomery James, remember I've told y'all the story about why we love Lied, and we love Lied because Montgomery James has always said Umbrella Church is his church. You know, I've been a church planter, and so he's known many churches for mommy to work with. His dad goes to another large church in Dallas, and Montgomery has described it as Hallelujah Church is daddy's church, mommy's church is Coffee Church, the other coffee house ministry in Dallas. is where I began my church planting career. And Umbrella Church is my church. That's what Montgomery says. When we came here at the beginning, Montgomery could barely walk. He was a toddler, toddling around, as they call it. And this year, one of my last services at my previous ministry before coming here was our outdoor Easter vigil. And Montgomery got to participate in their Easter vigil for the first time doing a reading. And he was nervous and he looked at me and he's sitting on my lap and he said, "Mommy, have I ever done anything like this before?" And I said, "No, honey." And after a year of virtual school, one of my only priorities this year, as the mama of a very rambunctious, active, creative child, as the mom of a boy who also used to be a teacher and knows developmentally all the things that come with that, and as the mom of a little black boy, my only prayer going into last school year was, "God, let him learn how to read." And if any of you have known me for a long time and know that I used to be an educator, not just in universities and colleges, but for 3 years, I was a K-12 educator. Y'all know my freak out story from college when I was in teacher education and I had to do my literacy classes. I'll tell you that story, we'll connect. Just know I was in a classroom, in my classroom as a college student, rocking back and forth, freaking out, saying, "But I don't remember how I learned how to read." So for virtual school to be the year my kid was supposed to learn how to read was a big deal for me. It sent me praying to God more often than I wanted to. But this year, April, towards the end of the school year for Easter, Montgomery did a reading. Not a speech, but a reading. He read the creation story. And in his Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and at first it was empty and dark, but God gathered up the light and called it day. Then God gathered up the darkness and called it night. And God was watching over everything." It's not just the what God created, it's how God created it. The gathering and the watching. The care. The labeling and the setting. What's important for good stories that we know as writers is that we must work out this how and this what before the story begins. We have to communicate at the beginning without giving everything away that there is a why, that there's a purpose that's meaningful to the audience. That why of a story is a framework. The structure and the purpose are laid out at the beginning. As an academic, we call it a framework. As a writer, it's also called a structure. Cooks and chefs call them recipes or rules. Scientists call them formulas. Some stuff about stories and frameworks is every epic story has one. See, there's this thing, particularly when there's going to be a hero in the story, that at the beginning, the hero shows up, but they're not quite a hero yet. They're not the guru. They're not the wise one. There's usually someone else. And it can be an epic, like, trilogy, like Karate Kid, or even in, like, cartoons. If you look at Power Rangers, if you look at Ninja Turtles, if you look at Inspector Gadget, there's the person that does the things eventually. But usually at the beginning, they're a screw up. They don't really know what's going on. And the guru comes in and teaches them. Wax on, wax off. Essentially, from a Christian framework, that then begs the question, who's the guru? Who's the wise one? Who is really the brains behind the operation? Here's the thing. Remember, it's not us. It's not our pastors, it's not our teachers, it's not our prophets. It's God. God is the main character. God is the guru in the story. You can see even in this one, though God makes many characters of many kinds doing many things, land and air and water and the sun and the moon and birds and livestock, there are all of these characters, powerful and strong. Have y'all ever tried to surf? Water will take you out. Have you ever spent too long in the sun? It will take you out. Not even us. So God created mankind in God's own image. Not even us are the main characters. God is. So then who are we? The ones made in God's image. We are the image bearers who are commanded by God to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it. We are commanded through God's creation and compelled through God's covenant and our confession of Jesus Christ to be fruitful, which means productive, to multiply, which means to increase, to replenish, which means to fill and then refill, and to subdue. Now, what exactly does this subdue mean? Does it mean we go around conquering things? Does it mean we go around bullying? Does it mean we go around asking everyone to do what we think is right? No. This word subdue and the subsequent words in our translations that we use, dominion, those words actually come from the Hebrew word, kavash. Kavash, which is also connected to radah, means that we are to descend, go down, wander, and spread. Descend, go down, wander, and spread. This verb literally means that connection and influence is about walking among the things and the people on earth. The use of the two Hebrew words, radah and kavash, imply that humans are to rule, to create order, not as a dictator, but as benevolent leaders. That we are to walk amongst those things that live. Animals, birds, water, trees, people. In relationship. To learn from them and to offer ourselves in relationship. The difficulty in translating accurately from the Hebrew to the English is actually the fact that not only are you combining two words, but culturally it is also different. The word we think of in 1 Genesis 28 is the Hebrew word with the root letters K-V-S-H. A better translation of conquer, like I said, is to be among. But how are we among? As you can see in the creation story, God separates, but then God creates pathways between. There's air and there's water, but there are mountains. There are birds that fly from the sea to the air. In English, our military terms have us think that conquering means annihilating. But in the Hebrew, not the English, they're not the same. Conquering, as Hebrew translations from radah or kavash, means to redirect. God gathered the darkness and placed it in an area. God gathered the light and placed it in an area. These things existed and God gathered them and made order by redirecting their paths. Just as Christ does for us. So when we find ourselves asking the question, what were we made for? Genesis 1 says that we were made to create order through our connections. When God made us image bearers, it meant that though we may name and though things may separate us, we create order by connecting. We create a path by connecting. And that those connections then demonstrate the power of God. Just like a bird's flight, just like a water's waves, just like the rushing wind. All of this means that the point of creation and connection as image bearers, that the question, what were we made for? What was any of this made for? The purpose and the structure, as good stories give us, is kavash. Connections. We were made to connect. I promise we will. I know it seems like we're in the same place that we were last year, but we're not. There's this thing that happens in these stories, and it happens in the Bible. It happened with Mr. Miyagi, and it happens in Ninja Turtles. First, God does, as God did in Genesis 1. Then we do it with God as we do in the gospel and we saw in the stories in Mark. Through Jesus, we as humans were able to partner with God. And then when Jesus left us and we established the body, the church, Jesus said that we would do greater things via the power left in us in community through Christ. There's a structure, there's a framework to the story. God does. We do it with God. And then through the power of God, when we find ourselves feeling like we are alone, we do it in community together. And so, though it seems like we're at the same point in the story, I promise we've progressed. And this week, what I'd like for you to do is to go walk alongside someone, because we can still safely connect. Grab coffee at Mocha, hop on the phone, and walk alongside somebody this week until you recognize God. Until you're able to see where God has placed you at this point in the story. Are you in the water? Are you in the sky? Are you feeling like the greater light, the sun? Are you feeling like the lesser light, the moon? Do you feel the power in your life right now as an image bearer? This week, walk alongside someone until you recognize what God's doing in you or in them or in the earth.